What a glorious time. What a future we have to look forward to. I was coming home several years ago from a baseball game that I'd went to with my Jewish neighbor, just not preaching, but preaching the gospel through my life and through a friendship and having a wonderful time with him. And he's been in some services around here, him and his wife, and they've heard me preach the absolute gospel right down to you must be born again. So, you get that opportunity. But I remember we were involved in a conversation, a very casual conversation, not anything that was pressing. And I was asking him, it came my turn, I guess, to ask. And I asked him, so what do you guys, because he belongs to, the synagogue, and I understand that. And so what do you believe? What's your future? And I said, what's in store for you guys? And he said, he said, we really don't know. We don't really, and he was talking more or less about their teachings and stuff. He said, we really don't know what's ahead and what's really in store. And everything's kind of like after this, it's kind of, we don't know. I thought to myself, how miserable to live a life where there is no certainty of the afterlife and a pure knowledge. We have pure, undefiled, written documentation of our future. And it's so wonderful. This is why we can preach and teach with such a certainty of where we're going. As I compare through the years, and I'm not an expert on this, but I'm growing, as I compare my notes and study and understanding that I glean through meditation through the book of Daniel, which is very, very explicit on end time events, the words of Jesus, compare those with the words of Jesus, and whatever I can possibly pick up that's not oblique through the book of Revelation and many other writings, we have a certainty. We have absolute certainty of where we're going. We know that we're going to spend eternity with Christ. The next great event on the calendar of things to happen, if you had a things to happen list of what great things were going to happen in our coming future, is, of course, our well-beloved, as we would term it, outpouring and revival. So we have determined through study of Scripture that sandwiched in between his next coming, he had a coming in which we understand was his coming to the earth, being born, living, crucified, resurrected, and risen again and raised to the right hand of the Father. So that's his first coming, his second advent. His second coming is, as we definitely understand it, is his coming back after this great harvest. And so we're believing, for a billion souls. Does the Bible say believe for a billion souls? It doesn't give you any limit. So we're going to take it to the, we're going to get as many as we can. So we're believing for a great harvest. And then the Bible says that in the twinkling of an eye, as the lightning shines from the east to the west, in that moment, Christ will return with his angels. 1 Thessalonians 4, there will be a trump, there will be a loud sound, there will be a blast, and the dead in Christ will rise. That doesn't mean, and I can't teach all that, that doesn't mean they come out of a physical grave. There's a transformation it's talking about because the dead in Christ are already with him. They actually come back and are transformed. In the synopsis of things, they are changed instantly. Having already been with him, the change for them will just be receiving a glorified body. We instantly will receive a glorified body as well. Shortly thereafter, I don't know the chronology. Now, is this the teaching tonight? No, I'm just exhorting. But shortly thereafter, as time would have it, will begin what the song just talked about, the millennial reign. There will be 1,000 years in which Christ himself, having returned to the earth, will rule. He will rule out of Jerusalem. There will be peace on the earth. Nations will cease war. There will be no governments as governments have it now, as this, you know, a republic or a, you know, a communist country. That's all dominion will be under him. Why? Because he said so. The sword of his mouth will be stronger than anything. I can tell you this. There's 8 billion humans. There are, the word says, an innumerable. In other words, we don't have a number to count the angels. However many humans there are, let's say this, thousands of times more angels than there are humans. So if any human needs to be kept in order during that 1,000 reign, not only is the Spirit of God himself more than able, but the angelic host will make sure that everybody toes the line during that 1,000 years. There'll be 1,000 years of reigning. And then the word tells us that Satan will be released out of a bottomless pit of incarceration for a short season. It doesn't tell us how long that season is, but it's a short season. And he will raise up another following. He will cause, so men will still have the choice. We ourselves will be changed. We'll already be changed. Those who had made the choice here now will already have been changed in a twinkling of eye into glorification. But there will be another uprising of Satan, in which Christ will put him down forever at the end of that short season, and then he will be locked away with the forever and forever and forever. And then will this earth, in the millennial, this earth will still not be changed. It'll still be, as I understand it, this planet. But then however he does that, I don't know if he evacuates us. I don't know how he does that. I don't have all the answers. But there's a new heaven and a new earth. This one is dissolved. It's not changed. It is absolutely dissolved and recreated. There will be a new heaven and a total new earth in which we will inhabit forever without Satan, without sinners to tempt. And there would be no temptation in us because we have glorified bodies. But we have an incredible, incredible future in front of us, and it is right in front of us, and we're headed down a road to get there. Then will all things at that point be delivered back to the Father. Right now, Jesus is the Lord of the church. We look to him as Lord. When it comes down to the end of all things, then Jesus will take his authority. He'll still be Jesus, and he'll still be Word incarnate, but he will deliver all authority back to the Father, and all things will go back to him, as in rulership over all things, the church. We understand that God is God, and he rules over the church, but right now, Jesus is the Lord over the church. At that point, Jesus will take his lordship and turn it back over and give it all back to God. And we'll still know him as Lord, as we have known him, but there is a transition, a beautiful transition of power as all things culminate at the end. And it's really going to be extremely wonderful, extremely wonderful. So do we know our future? Yes. Many details are yet to be worked out. As we continue to pray and study the Word of God, they'll come, they'll polarize in front of us, and we'll say, aha, I don't know why I didn't see that before. Well, because revelation is coming online, and we're getting to see more and more and more all the time. Hallelujah. But just like this life passes so quickly, and you don't even know how you become, you know, you were a kid, now you're a teenager, then you're married, and you got kids coming, and then you grow older. You don't grow old. You grow older, and then you pass away, and you think, where'd this life go? Once you step into the next life, then everything is an absolute, I would think, almost like a vacuum of time. There is no time there. So those that are waiting patiently, they're not really waiting. When we get there to a timeless eternity, and we're going to say, I've missed you all these decades. You've been gone. I've missed you. And that for them, it was as if they stepped from one room to the next, and then you came right behind them and came right through the door. So once we're on the other side of a timeless eternity, then we're waiting out the, in one sense of the word, this is the shortest span of our existence. The other, it is the most time conscious of consciousness, most conscious time consciousness time of our existence. So once we pass this time consciousness, then there will be no time consciousness. So everything else will be relative, like it's all, you know, we went through that 80, 100, 120 years, and now it's, here we go. It's the end. Here's the millennial. Here's the end, and all things delivered up to the Father. So, hallelujah. This is really neat. What's next on the time frame? Revival. That's what he's got us concentrating on now. But believe me, we're headed somewhere. We're headed to an eternity. So I'll be looking. I'm looking at you right now. But when I'm over there and I meet you 1,000 years from now or whatever, we will talk about this moment. We'll talk about you listening to me, and I'll talk. There'll be an absolute consciousness of who you are and what we did together and how we fought and how we won, and glory to God and all the good things. But it's really going to be awesome and really neat. Hallelujah. What's that? And we're going to, when we're going, I won't even, oh man, this is it, Homer. All I can say is Homer for those of you that miss it. He's sharp though. Oh my. Man. I'm still laughing from 2 weeks ago, 3 weeks ago. Are you looking at me? Are you? I'm trying to, Pastor. I'm doing my best. I almost couldn't finish the service after that. I was laughing, so I was like, oh, man. So we appreciate our Homer. Hallelujah. Father, we worship you. We praise you for this opportunity just to study your word and know where we're going. What an incredible destiny we have. There's a certainty. It's not confusion. It's not darkness. It's not ambiguous in our way of understanding. There's so much more that we don't know, but Lord, we are coming into more and more and more of an understanding of who you are and what our eternity exists, and also this beautiful thing that's sandwiched here next, which is the outpouring. And we give you all the praise. Speak through us tonight. We bless you in Jesus' name. Amen. We appreciate everyone that's here and all those that are watching. We appreciate everybody that has subscribed. We have several hundred that has subscribed, but we never really ask, other than one time we were looking for the possibility of closed caption, and that's still something coming up for us. But in one sense of the word, we really don't want, I know this may sound a little bit contradictory towards us wanting, we really want to keep ourselves secret for those, in the sense of the word, for those who are hungry hearts. We want them to find us. I get, you know, I think we're only praise God, we got 500 and something that are subscribed now, and that's not single people. I mean, there's some homes that watch that have 4, 5, 6 people, so you almost could double that. But I get all kind of invitations all the time to boost our advertisement, and they can guarantee you that you can have, you know, whatever, 2, 3, 4, 5,000 subscribers within whatever if you pay them. That's like broadcasting your seed towards the wind with people just subscribing that don't even have any idea what they're subscribing to. And we want hungry hearts. We want people that are searching. We want people that are hearing from God and wanting to go into the same outpouring that we are going into. So, hallelujah. Amen. We're going to pass out some Sunday's prophecy, and then we're going to ask you to go to Scripture. By the way, there are a number of prophecies at the back that are in that bookshelf, and Candy has got them very neatly, numbered or date-wise. Most of you have read them. They're on the website. I will say this prophecy tonight, sorry for those that are watching, is not yet on the website. It will be soon. I'll read it for you tonight, word for word, so you won't be lost behind us. But all those prophecies, for those that are here, are back there for you to take and give away, send to somebody, whatever. So once they get to a certain age, we'll pull them off there and then store them away or whatever. But they're always on our website as well. So, but before we get into tonight's prophecy, let's go to, or it was actually Sunday's, but we're going to read it tonight. Let's go to Mark chapter 16, because I think Mark chapter 16 ties in so well with what we heard the Lord say Sunday prophetically, and we certainly want scripture on the things that we hear from the Lord in present-day speaking. So, you know, this is the last part, verse 15 we're going to read, but this is just before Jesus ascends up into heaven. And this is otherwise known as the Great Commission, and God, the Lord telling us to spread his gospel. Go ye into all the world, this is what he said unto them, all the world, and preach the gospel to every creature. And he that believeth and is baptized shall be saved, but he that believeth not shall be damned. And these signs shall follow them that believe. In my name shall they cast out devils. They shall speak with new tongues. They shall take up serpents. And if they drink any deadly thing, it shall not hurt them. They shall lay hands on the sick, and they shall recover. We'll read those last two verses in a moment. I want to look up. I didn't print it out, but it won't take me a second. Let me go to, now this is as kind of generic as it gets, or as simple as it possibly is. This is, but really Esau's good, and you can get a lot of good things out of the Greek here. Now Pastor Jim would break this down three or four different ways, and man, I enjoyed his Sunday service, by the way, Jim, if you get a chance to listen to this. By the way, whoever's listening from Tulsa, I don't know, I know you guys used to pray on Wednesday night. Maybe you're still doing that for many of you. Some of you are wanting a live service, so you're either going to Pastor Jim's or here. Heaven help you or anyplace else. But we appreciate you being with us, and God bless you. Thank you so much. But the word signs here, let's just look at this. Jesus said, and these signs shall follow them. Signs. The word signs here is semion. And that may be as close as I can get to it, but it is, and I'll do it like Gary says, it's 4592 in Strong's. But it just simply means, the first definition of it is indication. Indication. So I'll just stick with that without going any further. So I could read it like this, and these indication or indications shall follow them that believe. These indications of what? Well, indications that they are true believers. That's what it's saying. These indications will follow them that believe, indicating that they are who they say they are, who they say they have accepted, and who they are following. In my name they shall cast out devils. This sounds like power, doesn't it? They'll speak with new tongues. They shall take up serpents. And if they drink any deadly thing, it shall not hurt them. And they shall lay hands on the sick, and they will recover. Now, I'm not saying, I could get a little, you know, funny here, sarcastic, and it's not, but obviously I know better than this. But if the indications were any indication of who really was saved, there'd be very little to earmark. If you went into all the churches and said, do you know the indication? Okay, let's go out into all the world and preach the gospel. And some of these some churches, some denominations, that don't believe in speaking in tongues really are heavy on go ye into all the world and preach the gospel. Gary said, you know, he was raised Southern Baptist, and so was Jim. And they both have said, see, I don't have a background, so I don't have any, I don't have any way to say anything, or I don't have any license. But these guys were raised in it, and they said that's all they preached right there. They got that far, that go ye into all the world and preach the gospel, but it's like the rest of it, you know, they stopped their sermon after that. These signs, these indications shall follow them that believe. In my name they shall cast out devils. They shall speak with new tongues. And, you know, you now the ones that do break this down, they'll go into all kinds of gyrations to get around that, meaning they'll learn new tongues. This is not about talking about learning a new tongue. This is talking about speaking with other tongues. Because right after this, in the same setting, he goes and says, go and be endued with power from on high. The Holy Spirit is going to come on you. They'll take up serpents. If they drink any deadly thing, it shall not hurt them. And they shall lay hands on the sick, and they shall. Everybody say shall. They shall recover. So if indications were any indication of who was saved, or let's say, I've said this before, who could join the church, there'd be very few that really could join the church. If you had, if every big church or every church, no matter who you are, us included, said, okay, here's an indication. We're only going to allow you to join the church based on your proper ability to fulfill the indications. Now, of course, we know that the bottom line is the blood of Jesus. Okay, we understand that. We understand the blood of Jesus. If you accept that, cleansed, repent, that gets you in. But the indication of you being born again are these things. But if we were to follow these things and we looked at the 2022 church at large, we would say, by all indications, nobody's saved, or very few are saved, because only half or very few of these are being fulfilled. So then, after the Lord had spoken unto them, he was received up into heaven and sat at the right hand of God. And they went forth and preached everywhere, the Lord working with, and that's in italicis. So that word is not there, but he was with them. But it actually says working with and confirming the word with what? Indications, signs, following. Amen. Hallelujah. So what we understand here is that from the very beginning, Jesus commissions the church, and he says, look, the power of God is going to accompany you, and it's going to indicate that you are truly my believers. And if you follow me, all these things will follow you. That's the way it should be. That really is the way that it should be. And it says that he was received up into heaven and sat at the right hand. Jesus is there. And because he's the only ever Messiah, he's the only Messiah, and he's the only ever leader of any religious, as you would think, church, group, organization, whether it be Hindu, Asian, Islamic, none of theirs really claim or can have proof like we have proof of all these eyewitnesses that our Lord actually left the planet, ascended to the right hand of the Father. Interesting enough, I would love to know more about that, and that is more to be said for another day. I don't see him, once they watched him go up, I personally don't believe he hit warp speed at light speed and went through the planets into billions of miles away. Heaven really is a dimension more than anything else. That doesn't mean it's like trillions of miles away. Heaven is really just another, and if you've ever heard Gary's dimension messages, they're incredible. I don't even know where to tell you to find those. You'll have to write and find those. But Jesus, I think for visual effect, they had to see him ascend, and then he just steps over into that place of what is the dimension of heaven. But let's go to our prophecy tonight. So you have that in front of you. I'll read this because I think it has so much to do with, as I was contemplating this and as I read this, I appreciate Sarah. She types up all our prophecies, and I give her the license to title them because she's having to type them up. And Candy and I often comment, she does such a wonderful job on catching the essence and giving them titles, because I don't give them a title. And this was a great title, Faith Has a Purpose. So let's look at it. I've called you apart in two places. The testimony to the world was that you don't do the things they do, nor act like they do, nor speak like they do. They were to take measure and look at you and say, you're different. You're peculiar. And at times even to disdain that you would not participate in the things that they participate. There ought to be a great gulf between the world and my church. For some have said, out of a disposition that has taken them down a wrong road, that there's gray areas in that, and there's gray areas in that. And I say unto you, the church has believed a lie. It's believed the doctrine of devils or demons. It is not gray, and it's not black and white. It's not gray, it's not black, and it's not white. It's pure, and it's holy, and it's darkness or deceit. One of the things that, am I reading that correctly? Did I miss, I'm thinking ahead. What did I read? It's not gray. It's not. It is black and white. I knew in my brain, I'm not saying that correctly, but I'm going to someplace else even before I get there. It's not gray. It's black and it's white. Now, did I say it right that time? Thank you. If you're up here on the front, do this often. I can tell when I'm someplace else and too far ahead, but it's not gray. So the distinguishing of, there's the two things that he talks about to start with, I've called you apart in two places. Now he's going to talk about those two places, and he starts out in the first paragraph by saying there ought to be a separation. And in the world, in the woke church, see, we talk about woke, and woke can mean a lot of different things, and I certainly this is not a political. But woke basically means those that have woken to a social awareness, that they have become socially aware, and they want to right the wrongs of social indifferences. So all of that has bled into the church in an increasing manner, to where that there has been such a tolerance towards sin, because part of woke is don't offend. And yet it's so hypocritical because it is such an offensive mind process. But the Holy Spirit calls this the doctrine of demons. Now, in the book of Revelation, as we studied those seven churches, this same doctrine came in. It's always tried to plague. It just makes reaccounting cycles. The Nicolaitans, which tried to infiltrate and did an incredible job. Jesus himself said, I hate. He didn't say, I hate the Nicolaitans. I hate the deeds they teach. He just specifically said, they teach people to fornicate. They teach people to commit adultery. They teach people to worship idols. And that can go in a lot of different ways, not just physically, but spiritually as well. But the first thing the Holy Spirit is saying here, the witness in the last days will be a separation, not a pious, not a, but the church has said, let's look like them and let's act like them, and then we'll win them over. Listen, you can be friendly, you can have joy, you can do a lot of different things that they do that are not sinful, but when you participate in their sinful acts to believe that you're trying to evangelize them, you've stepped over into a doctrine of devils. And if you come to the place to say where, we've preached it hard around here, Homer's preached it harder than myself concerning the power of the new nature, and the don'ts, you know from the beginning, the don'ts that you cannot go back to. But the church at large, it is no rocket science to me why the church at large has not had revival. And it's not going to be birthed. The revival will not be birthed by the church at large. It's impossible. It will be birthed by churches that go through the same process that we're going through and go through a purging process. That's why there's so little and few of these kinds of churches. And then there's so few of us inside our church. There's so few of us. It's a tough way in a certain sense. His commandments are not grievous, but it is tough on the flesh. They have to make choices to surrender to death, to go all the way to death. And so reading the second paragraph beginning, hopefully catching my wit about me, and I've called you to come over to a place where the world would be drawn by you because they see that you're different, first in your walk, first in the way that you do things, but then, here we go, here's Mark 16, then my crown to you is that a power would come. Here's the second thing that he's talking about, that my power would come forth from you, that when you go to the hospitals, or that you go to someone and pray for them, or you pray for them over the phone, something happens. I have no pleasure. The Lord says, I have no pleasure, though I have pleasure in the love that I have for my people. It's like he wants to preface this. I have no pleasure, though I have pleasure in the love that I have for my people. I have no pleasure in a powerless church. Many pray for people when asked because it's the right thing and the loving thing to do. In other words, people say, would you pray for me? Or would you remember me and pray? Sure, I'll pray for you. Or we send out a text, or we send out a request. And now I'm believing better than this for our intercessors. I'm talking about just the overall general rule of the church. I'll read this again. Many pray for people when asked because it's the right thing and the loving thing to do. But I would that there was something more than just you doing the loving thing, that when you prayed, a power was emanated from you, and it really touched and brought forth healing and manifestation. I am the manifester, says the Lord. Hallelujah. Too much has been disguised in my church as in saying, let's take that by faith. Let's take that by faith. Let's take that by faith. I'm telling you, the days are changing where true manifestation will come about by those who are really praying and spending time in my presence, says the Lord. Hitherto, there has been a great maze and bleeding together. In other words, it just kind of all, as he said, bleeds together. There was not a distinguishing because faith preaching, though valid, covered and disguised in that place of where there would be power or not power. But I'm telling you that the manifester, which is my spirit, has come to the church. And he will begin to follow those who are doing my sayings and living in a place where I've called them. And they'll go ahead and shoulder above much in the church. Not because I prefer or love one more than the other, another, but these are the days of manifestation, says the Spirit of the Lord. Faith is one thing that I'm very well pleased in. And without faith, it's impossible to please me. But what is your faith for, if not for manifestation? Glory to God. Glory to God. Is it not always to stay? It's not always to stay in a place of faith. It is to come to a place of maturity, of fruit, ready to be picked and ripe and ready to be eaten and enjoyed by healing and manifestation of deliverance and provision, says the Spirit of the Lord. I enjoy faith, but I enjoy the manifestation of faith far more, says the Spirit of the Lord. Hallelujah. Come apart. Know that I desire you. I desire you, says the Spirit of the Lord. I am pleased with whatever place that you're at in me, but push in more to that place of residence, that place of power. Amen. So we want to distinguish some things in what we just read, which I know and believe with all my heart was from the Holy Spirit, but he's just encouraging us to believe him. You can't make this disposition happen, but believe him for a disposition of now, things happening now. Where would we be? The Holy Spirit said, and of course, prophesying from an understanding of the Word of God, I couldn't say anything less. But faith, without faith, it's impossible to please him. But now abides faith, hope, and love, and the greatest of these is love, we know. And so he's taking and transitioning us into a perfect place where love is manifested in the present tense. Now, where would we be without growth? We couldn't get to what he's describing. Where would we be without Mark 11:23-24? Therefore I say unto you, whosoever shall say into this mountain, be thou removed and be thou cast into the sea. Those words say and saying are broken down into two factions. One is to simply speak to say. The other one is saying as in repetitiveness. I say unto you, therefore, that whosoever shall say into this mountain, continue to say, be thou removed and be thou cast in the sea, and shall not doubt in his heart, but shall believe that those things which he saith shall come to pass, he shall have whatsoever he keeps on saying. Therefore I say unto you, whatsoever thing you desire when you pray, believe that you receive them, and you shall have them. We couldn't get there if we didn't continue to speak the truth. We couldn't get there without Mark 4, sower sowing the word. If you get past afflictions and persecutions, and then if you get past deceit, cares of this life and deceitfulness of riches, then you're good ground, not stony ground, and then you get to begin to produce. You can produce 30, 60. We're after the 100. We're after, there's no way to get there except the blade, the ear, and then the full corn in the ear. There's no way to get there. But he's kind of putting us in a place to saying, look, my greatest desire for you is the manifestation, the full manifestation. And if we follow our prototype, now we're not there. I'm not there myself. But boy, I don't have any ambition except to be just as he was. There, you can't sell yourself short to say, so the Holy Spirit obviously is not mocking faith or making less of faith. But he's saying the full manifestation of faith coming in, that's the full pleasure of God. That's the full pleasure of God. And so thinking back, it's easy. I'll just say this. If we don't watch it and if we don't allow him to keep up an air of expectation for the present tense and keep looking into Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John like his, it took place right then. That's our end result. That's what we're after. We don't want to be for a lack of better word, we don't want to become calloused by non-results. So non-results, having non-results, you got to hang on to something, so you better hang on to faith and say, I'm a blade, I'm an ear, I'm coming to full corn in the ear, I'm going to hang on to this, but I don't want to ever allow my senses to be so desensitized by not having enough results that I believe that that's my future. That's my future always. Now, don't get me wrong. Those scriptures, those truths, there will always be in, even in revival, a changing process. Blade, ear, full corn in the ear. We'll always be that. But the full manifestation is where we want to, the present tense. Because we look at him, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, and he got things done right then and right there. Every time, all the time, everyone was healed. Now just think for a moment. That's how the disciples started out too. That's exactly how they started out. Was the Holy Ghost they received any stronger then to them than he is now? Absolutely not. He's the same Holy Ghost. Although John G. Lake, I believe I've heard Gary say, he said that I see something in when he was alive. He said, I see something really peculiar. I don't even know how to make it out. But he said, I see a group of people that have the ability, a group in the future of church that has the ability to pray in tongues, but there's no simultaneous power with it. No power to, you know, raise the dead and heal the sick. So that power has been lost. There is they would call glossolalia, or the ability to speak in tongues, that has been given to the church, and we've taught that freely, but we need to understand, we need to go back to Scripture and say there was a simultaneous, Mark 16, these signs shall follow you. And they were supposed to. So I want to keep married, I want to continue to keep married to you the faith process, because it's so important. But I also want to couple in that marriage in your heart and mind to say, Lord, let my expectations always be in the now. Because long-standing results of not getting everything now will kind of, I don't know a better word, callous you to thinking, okay, everything is potentially has to be going through a process. Well, it does until you get to the now, but the now is where he wants us to be. He wants us to be. The disciples, part of, I do not believe, I won't find an excuse in this, because I could find an excuse in this, and it's an invalid excuse, because I have the Holy Spirit and I have the Word of God. I have the mirror and I have the teacher. So I can go to any place that they went to. I can. And I can go to any place that Jesus says I can go to. But one of the things that I understand is that they had from the very beginning, they followed him for three and a half years. And, you know, you had the 12. You had the 70. You had several more. Some friends come in. See, good to see you guys. God bless you. Good to see you. So sorry for that intermission. Just good. I had to wave to some friends. But you had the disciples. You had the 70, and then you had multitudes that were. You had a lot of people that hung around him. You read from Scripture as an indication of, even the ones that they got to pick and choose from on Acts, Matthias and the other guy, whatever his name was, I can't remember right now. But, Peter said, these guys have been with us. They've been with the 12 the whole time. They might have been part of the 70. They've been in and out with us. They've hung around Jesus. So it wasn't like just 12 walked around with him. There was an entourage. There was, he had 35 teams of two. He had 70 at one time besides the 12. And then there was a bunch. Mark, There's all indication that Mark was a hang around. I don't know, you know, he obviously Mark was not one of the original 12, but there's a bunch. But what I'm saying is all of these got to see on a daily basis. Now, the 12 always went with him, I'd say everywhere. A lot of that other bunch went with him from city to city. But there wasn't hardly a day that a miracle didn't take place. And I'm talking about fantastic miracles. Arms grow out, legs grow out, blind eyes, missing body parts that would heal were healed. Leprosy would leave people's body immediately. There was never, ever a delayed response. There was times where he would say, go wash in the pool of Siloam, do this. But it was an immediate response. As soon as they did that, within the hour, they were, you know, there was healed. You saw no progression. I'm for progression. I will receive through progression. I'm not casting that out. I'm not disdaining that. Most of what I've ever gotten has been through progression in my body. The best way is where the prototype was at. And I believe we're headed towards that place. It was instantaneous. It was now. And so it was not only that for him, but can you imagine the effect that it had, the teaching effect on the disciples? They watched a man pray, and every time he prayed, they got healed. There was a, now I'll say it like this, we know the born again, the spiritual part is where the power was received, the change of the nature, and then the baptism, the Spirit brought forth the Didymus power, which is the power that we'll walk in to do ministry. But there was an absolute convincing, they didn't lose their soul, their mind, there was an absolute, if you want to put it this way, absolute brainwashing, convincing of every time I see this guy pray, the power of God comes. Every single time. There's not one time where we've left a town where he's had to tell anybody, you need to take this by faith. And I'm not against that. I'm just, the message tonight is the hope of us coming to a place of believing for instantaneous and developing our faith. This can't be a mental process. You can't make it up in your mind and say, I want to brainwash myself. But what we see from Scripture, you can begin to affirm and say, Lord, let my expectation not only be in a growth process, but I want to see, this is part of revival, I want to believe you that you're the manifester. You're the one present tense that does this. Present tense that manifests. When I'm praying over the phone, when I'm speaking, I want to see this in my spirit. I want to imagine this taking place. Those guys, when they received, when the baton was passed to them after, you know, the day of Pentecost or on the day of Pentecost, when they received Christ in the upper room, when he breathed on, or when they received the new nature, when he breathed on them, and then in the day of Pentecost, they were baptized with the Holy Spirit. They were shot out of the gate. They were shot completely out of the gate. They were having the same success that he had. Part of the reason why that I believe, I don't believe it's the foundational reason, because I believe that we can get to wherever they're at, but I believe that it had a great effect on these men to see that their prototype, they saw this all the time. They absolutely saw this all the time. It was to them, it was like it never does not happen. It never does not happen. We're coming for, and see, I'm not making an excuse. I'm just telling how pleased the Lord must be with a generation that has to go from scratch almost. And we're not from scratch in the sense that we're born again and we've got the undefiled Word of God and we've got, but here's the deal. I've never been in a revival like the revival where, you know, there's revivals like next Saturday we're going to start a revival and we don't make fun of them. They don't understand what we're talking about, the outpouring. But I've never been in a two or three or four or five year revival where 50% of people come in and I saw them get healed. I've seen some miracles. I've been to some tent revivals. I've watched Pastor Dave perform. I've been part of some pretty incredible, but not like the book of Acts. These guys were saturated. They were marinated. They were just absolutely, now there was a change that had to take place in their spirit, but their soul was already marinated. It had 3 years of seeing nothing but total Holy Ghost manifestation. When you pray, he comes. 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 We are a generation not only that is fighting the gray that Satan wants to put in the church, which is a compromised, but also we are pulling up from the foundation. We're digging in. And this is, I don't want to say this is all we got. This is more than enough. The Word and the Spirit is more than enough. But we're digging down without experience. Now, something, when I'm praying in tongues and worshiping God, it tells me this is real, this is real. But has my soul been saturated? No, my soul, as in experience, has not been saturated like theirs was. I lived in the Congo for 5 years and I've seen, yes, praise God. And third world miracles are totally different, and I'm not going to preach that tonight. But we're going to come to a place where all of us are going to see more and more the manifester take place, manifestations from the manifester take place right then and there. And I think that needs to be our disposition, that, Lord, we're saying, Lord, I'm a man of faith, I'm a woman of faith, I will keep up my confessions, I will change this line on line, precept on precept, I'll be that little blade coming up out of the ground, and one day, but everything that Jesus taught, the blade, the ear, and the corn, the mustard seed, everything in Mark 4, the man that puts seed in the ground, he don't know how it comes up, he sleeps on it night and day and it comes up, all that was to come to, all that is a process of faith in which God is saying, I salute you, church, keep on, come on, keep on. It's like, it's like when Clark's learning, back when she was learning to walk, every baby is coerced by mom and dad and grandpa, come on, just come on. And one of the things that the disciples had, which again, I won't belabor to say, that's an excuse for us. They did have, out of the gate, a memory, an absolute saturated memory, that I have never seen anything, but when I use the name of Jesus, the only time we have a recording of them having a failure, a temporary breakdown of failure, was their inability to cast out the epileptic boy, the demon of the epileptic, and Jesus corrected them. But otherwise, they were having great success. But they just went right into success mode as soon as they were born again and spirit-filled. So the Holy Spirit is raising up a generation of us that is going down to bedrock again, and that we're building this foundation, and we're believing God for things that the world hasn't seen in 2,000 years. I have read through the years and tried to trace the power, how long it really lasted. It seems to have lasted through the original 12 and on into other disciples. I believe it lasted, Timothy outlived Paul. I don't know how much, longer actually. But then there was, that power seemed to go in for, maybe 200 or 300 years. But somehow, through false teachings, it was lost. It was still here. The Holy Spirit was still here, and then it was lost. We're digging back and saying, Lord, we want a saturation of senses as we speak. We want to get to the place where we see this all the time, continually all the time. I want to get to the place where I don't want to ever take it for him for granted. Extreme respect, love, reverence. I fear in a loving way, not that he squish me or take my breath away, but I love him, respect him as a father. But there is something concerning the senses, just even your natural senses, that he does, and a believability that's mainly imparted to your spirit, but also saturates that part of us that is a firewall oftentimes to believing, and that's our natural senses. Even the Jews in the Old Testament, they were rebellious, but they got so, let's say, desensitized to miracles that it was like nothing to them. I mean, what if you went to sleep every night and there's this huge tower of fire over Immokalee or just outside, and you just see it, and it's just this big chimney, this monstrous fire every night? I mean, you can't deny that. That's God. That's God. Every day, this pillar, this big pillar of smoke from the desert into the heavens, and they got to see all these miracles all the time. They're even, you know, they're way away from being born again, and their senses were like, this is who God is. We just expect this, you know. Even though they were rebellious for 40 years, he never left them. He still continued to help them wonder. He actually was the one that was wondering, helping them wonder, because he was like, I want you all to die out. All of you need to die. So I think we'll go over here. I think that's the best. That's the way to Canaan. No. Here, I'm going to sleep. So, but they got used to the present. This is a generation that's not used to of the divine, supernatural things. We're gonna transition into supernatural. We're gonna transition into things that are just absolutely on purpose. Now, did we finish this? We did. Good. And we could have quite a bit more to say, but we'll leave you in suspense until Sunday. We're gonna have a wonderful day Sunday. Let's come in. You know, you create with me the atmosphere for service. You really do. And all of you that are watching tonight, continue to pray with us, join for a great outpouring of His Spirit. And we love you. We appreciate you. And God bless you. Amen. So I think that's it for tonight. And several more scriptures I could go into, but I think we've had a good time. Amen. Let's all stand. Father, we love you. We praise you. Our expectation is for the here and now. Where will we be without growth, without faith? It's our pledge of allegiance to the faith of everything that God says that we are in Christ, to continue to go forward and to grow, to be nurtured. But along with that, there's a faith that says, here and now, there's a manifestation. And Lord, we don't want to ever lose that expectation. In fact, we want it to increase to such a place where we're always believing for the present tense power of God to move. We bless this time. We thank you, Lord, for everyone that has watched and been a part of it. And we just thank you for what you're going to be doing this weekend. We bless you in Jesus' name. Have a wonderful night. Amen. Yeah.